May be seated. What comfort, what reassurance, knowing that, you know, if you receive Him and believe you're a child of God, that He's got this. That He's got this. Whatever it is that's plaguing you, whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever it is that the enemy's throwing at you, He's got it. You know, the ultimate comforter, the ultimate shield. And we're on His side. I mean, wow, thanks, God. So welcome, whether you're here physically today or you're here online. May you just feel God's presence and may He speak to you through the music and through the Word as we come to worship together. Let's start off the readings.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm chapter 116, verses 8 through 19. For You, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. Truly, I am Your servant, Lord. I serve You just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to You and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in Your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the second lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, He was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at His feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had got into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and He gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So He got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any children are welcome to go out for children's church here to learn some things at their own age level. Feel free. Yeah, there's fun projects and crafts and I almost wish I could go there sometimes. You know, I'm like a big kid. Can I come with you? All right, Lord, we thank you for children. We thank you for the opportunity to learn, Lord. Let us never take that for granted. The opportunity to learn, the opportunity to improve and to better ourselves, and to increase the fullness of our relationship with you, Lord. So let us learn from the words that you have inspired people to write. Let them speak to our hearts and our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, so here in the gospel today, we have once again Jesus setting people free. That's just one thing Jesus does. He sets people free. All throughout the gospels, he's going around setting people free. He had come to seek and to save the lost, and yeah, absolutely, he does that. So here, they had just come off the lake. There had been a mighty storm out there, as you recall, and he had calmed the waters. And then they probably had to row it ashore because they didn't have wind for the sails anymore, but hey, they got there. But maybe they've been blown towards the shore. Maybe God had set up a divine appointment. He's good at that kind of thing. Every once in a while, you come into contact with people or a situation that God just sort of arranged it to bring you into contact with them. And maybe to use you to bring hope to others, to bring healing to others, to set others free. Now, don't feel like you have to do that. Think, God, I don't know how to set people free or to heal or bring hope. Guess what? He's going to equip you. You offer yourself up. He's going to do it through you. He's going to do the work. You just have to be there and offer yourself up. Sort of a volunteer type thing, okay? Lord, I volunteer today. However you want to use me, have at it. Work through me in ways that I don't even realize that you're doing it to bring people to freedom and bring glory to you. So, yeah, this happens all the time. So they get on shore, and all of a sudden they're met by a guy. All right. Well, this is no normal guy. All right. He was shouting all kinds of horrible things at the top of his voice. He had been chained and broken those chains many times. This guy's got problems, all right? Big time, big time. He's possessed, all right? I would like to know the backstory. How did he come into this? For how many years had he been like this? Was it a recent development? Had it been since he was, you know, younger? Did he perhaps have a family? Maybe a wife and kids that he couldn't go near. Can't imagine how horrible that would be. Like leprosy, same type thing. You could not go near your family. You couldn't get near anyone. You had to shout unclean if anybody even got close to you. The horrible idea of living alone and missing those that you love. But not even experiencing the hug from a fellow human or to be rejected to that point. So this guy's dealing with that, of course, and he can't think straight, maybe at times, but then at other times the demons take over. And how did this happen again? What's the backstory? There must have been a point of entry. If you read into some of these things, and I've read a little bit on it, listened a little bit on it, and people that do become possessed, it happens yet today. I was listening to podcasts last summer from a Catholic priest who, that's his job, his assignment within the church is to be an exorcist. That's what he does. And he's telling these stories to this person that's interviewing him. He has no reason to lie. This guy's a priest, okay? No reason to lie. And he's telling about things that people are just totally out of their minds, and it's obvious that they are possessed. And he said there's always a point of entry. Maybe they cooperated with the dark forces. Maybe they got into devil worship, and then all of a sudden, it came into them. Maybe it was a point of trauma. They'd experienced severe trauma as a child or sometime in their life. And it's a point of entry. It can be through a seance or seeking the dead. The Old Testament warns us against that. Again, it's a point of entry. You're dealing with spirits that are unclean. They're out there. They're around us, okay? The spiritual realm is real. It exists. It talks about it all through the Bible. And I'm going to preach what's in the Bible, all right? Just the curiosity, especially with youth and things like that. I remember a foster daughter we had one time. She was talking about her shop project that she was working on, and it was a piece of wood with a bunch of letters on it. She was making a Ouija board, and I told her, you know, you can do what you want in school. That's your business, but that is not crossing our threshold. That is not coming into our house. She respected that, right? She respected that. But I actually saw her a few months ago. She's still in the area. And now managing a store and doing pretty good. But, kids are curious about things. And the enemy, of course, is going to use that curiosity. Alrighty, so we don't really know what happens. But this guy is scary. He's been breaking these chains. He's out of his mind, to approach him. Anybody really want to go up and talk to him? I think people don't. They're fleeing. They are scared of him, and with right reason, with a good reason. This guy is clearly out of his mind. And furthermore, if you're a Jew coming near this guy, he's unclean in three ways at least. He's possessed. That's unclean. He's living among the dead. That's unclean. And he's also a Gentile. We're in Gentile territory here. We're on the east side of the lake. Okay, it's the east side. All right, it's the Gentile territory. The west side of the lake was more Jewish territory. But as you get there, we're getting into the Gerasene region, the Decapolis. There's 10 cities there, mostly Gentile. And the fact that they're herding pigs is another, obvious clue that these are Gentiles. So a Jew is not allowed to go Gentiles. You could not be around dead bodies. That would be unclean. And also someone that's possessed. But Jesus, on the other hand, does that scare him away? It doesn't. Think of the lepers I mentioned earlier. People are scared of the lepers. They don't go near him. Does that deter Jesus? It doesn't. His love, his compassion for these people that are afflicted far outweighs any fear that he might have experienced. Well, besides he's God, But okay, that aside, the compassion that he has, the love that he has, the freedom that he wants to bring. He's going to approach lepers. He goes up and talks to them, lays his hands on them, for goodness sake. He's a Jew, and he's laying his hands on lepers. Here he's interacting with this guy that's three ways unclean. He heals a Canaanite woman. A Jewish man would not go to other women that they were not married to. He wouldn't associate with them. It's culturally wrong. But no, he approaches a foreign woman, a Canaanite woman, also a Samaritan woman. That's our Jesus, okay? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what you've done. He will come to you. And he still does. Just ask him, Lord, you're in trouble. Just, Lord, let me feel your presence. Come on to me. I'm seeking you. And as you pray that, you're going to be infused with a peace that's incredible. And set free from the worry. Set free from the anxiety. Again, set free. All right, so the demons inside this guy are taking over. I beg you, don't torture me. They will be tortured, thrown in the lake of fire in the future. Read through Revelation, it's going to happen, okay? And there is this the time they're thinking? This is not supposed to happen yet. But nope, he didn't do that to them yet. All righty, if you read the account from Mark chapter 5, when they're talking to him, just page back to that real quick. Because there was something that was notable there. Okay. What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They recognize him. All right. Jesus has always been, will always be. He's from, before time started, the beginning. Before these demons became fallen angels, they were worshiping him in heaven. All right. So they recognize him. Swear to God that you won't torture me. Asking him to swear to God. Okay. Well, if we remember what it said in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just page back to that real quick. Matthew 5, verses 34 through 37. I found this interesting here. But I tell you, Jesus speaking, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot take back even one hair, white or black. Simply let your yes be your yes, and your no be your no. So when someone says, I swear to God, or I swear in a stack of Bibles, that's probably making them even more suspicious. And it's definitely not following what Jesus told us in the Gospels. Just be honest. Have a sense of integrity. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. That should be enough. If we're walking with God, we're being honest with others. But here, they're asking him to swear by God that they won't torture him. I found that interesting. Okay, so they begged him then, don't throw us into the abyss. They instead, hey, there's that herd of pigs. Can we go there? Well, you think unclean spirits, unclean animals. Okay, this works. Somehow, apparently, these spirits can inhabit animals, which is sort of different. Usually the host is a human, right? It's sort of like a parasitic type thing attached to a human. But they can also inhabit animals, apparently, which might explain a few cats I've come across in the past. But, okay. Well, the serpent in the garden, too, okay? Yeah. Now, when the demon inhabits something, it starts to manifest strange behaviors. And we see that's the case with these swine as well. In the Gospel of Mark, his account, it tells us it's a herd of 2,000 pigs. All right, picture that. 2,000 pigs. They're going to tear up a lot of territory. They're going to eat a lot of feed. They're going to take up a lot of room. 2,000. Wow. Okay. And they do go out of their mind. They go running over a cliff into the Sea of Galilee and drown. You can also picture that. For weeks, 2,000 carcasses of hogs bloating and washing up on shore. And you think dead carp are bad along the shore. Okay, this is really getting bad. And yeah, they had to somehow be disposed of, I suppose, or nature took its course, but I can imagine. Hoofda. Okay, so this guy is now set free. He was not the only witness. There are others present, right? Those tending the pigs saw what had happened. They ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. Okay, this is a little backwoods community, not much excitement. All of a sudden, a herd of 2,000 pigs runs over, and then this guy that was formerly possessed is free. This is big news. People are going to come. They want to see. They want to hear. They want to witness it. So people are coming. And when they arrived there, when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. He had been set free from who knows how many years of oppression. He had been set free by an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus will set people free. That's not just stuff 2,000 years ago. That is yet today. When people encounter Jesus, they can be set free. They can be set free from addictions. They can be set free from spirits. They can be set free from all types of things. Well, the addiction would also be the enemy at work. The enemy is at work in many different ways. He attacks people in different ways. We all have our leanings towards sin, one person that way, another person that way. And he knows what works for us. Again, he's got that well-stocked tackle box, and he'll just dangle a lure in front of you. If it doesn't work, he'll just switch up the lures, right, and try another one. Switch the bait. He'll find the one that works. He knows what worked for you, for your parents, for your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Was he around tempting them too? Absolutely. He's got a lot of experience. All right, but we got God on our side. So we can resist that temptation, right? Resist the devil and he will flee, as it says in James. So this guy was set free, not by anything he had done. He had not earned it. He had not deserved it. He did not go through a bunch of steps to achieve this freedom. It was simply an act of God. It was an act of Jesus. All right? We can't earn it, but Jesus can set us free. So how'd they react? You'd think they'd be rejoicing. Hey, look, Charlie's healed, or whatever, Bob, or whatever his name is, right? Then they'd be going, wow, this is incredible. What else can you do? Or this is just amazing, and it should be. But how do they react? They're afraid. They are afraid. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them. Don't you think he'd be asking them to stick around? To perform more miracles? To set more people free? That would be my thought. But I suppose their whole economic system had taken a blow from 2,000 hogs that they lost. And they're afraid of what else he might do. After all, they're Gentiles and he's a Jew. So they ask him to leave because they're overcome with fear. What have they got to fear? What are you going to fear from a guy who has love, a guy who has compassion, a guy who sets people free? I don't see anything to fear there. I see something to latch onto. Someone that I want to have a relationship with. Someone that I want to live with. Someone that I want to worship. But they didn't see it that way. And what follows then? The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. Yeah. Well, this guy just set you free. Of course you're going to want to follow him. You're going to want to thank him. You're going to want to serve him. You're going to want to see what else he can do. You're going to want to help him bring others to freedom. I mean, all kinds of reasons here. But Jesus said no. Other times he said, come follow me, right? This time he doesn't. Other times he heals someone. He says, don't tell anyone what I did. The opposite here. He tells them, return home and tell how much God has done for you. To broadcast it, to publicize it, to spread the good news throughout the Decapolis, these 10 cities in Gentile territory. Jesus came not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, with the Samaritan woman, with the Canaanite woman, here with the Gerasenes, to spread the good news. He now has a testimony. He can share how Jesus changed his life. By doing so, he can bring hope to others. He can bring freedom to others. It's incredible what a good testimony can do. So return home, tell much how God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town and all over the cities, it says in the other text there, how much Jesus had done for him. That's way cool. So why did he tell him to go out and tell things? Whereas others, he said, hey, don't tell anybody who I am, what I did. Well, this is not Jewish territory. This is not where the Romans are controlling everything at the moment. You know, they have influence there. This is the Gentiles. He's going to treat them differently. He wants the word to spread to them as well, that, hey, you are welcome. You are welcome, along with the Jews and anybody else who accepts Jesus Christ into our family, to have family, to have relationships with others. That's so cool. To have a loving father. I mean, so many of the foster kids we've taken care of over the years, they just want to be a part of a loving family. And even if you're not a foster kid or anybody else, do we all want to be part of a loving family? Do we all want to be accepted? Do we all want to be valued? Do we all want to be loved? Yes. And as part of God's family, you got brothers and sisters around you right now, and not only in this building, but around the world, that would drop everything to help you. Because that's who they are. They've been changed by Jesus. We now serve others. We now help others. We now pray with others. We now, you know, bring the good news to others. So it's a life-changing thing. And this testimony has, you can imagine him just going out. How can he not help but tell people of what God had done for him? The people know what he used to be like. They see what he's like now. This guy was probably famous in that region, right? If there's some oddball out there, does everybody know about Joe or Charlie or whatever? Yeah. And everybody told the kids scary stories about him and everything else. But now look at him, dressed in his right mind, praising God, telling what Jesus has done for him. What a turnaround. And when you meet people like that, that maybe used to drink way too much, but now they're on fire for Jesus and things like that. Just, yes, yes, yes. I love it. This story is great. The way that Jesus can turn around a life, and still does. And when I was researching this, Psalm 116, as I'm researching the theme, part of the psalm that we did not read, just think of this guy that was set free. And the psalmist here, it's not David this time, we don't know who wrote the psalm, but long before that had happened, obviously, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious in righteousness. Our God is full of compassion. Protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Wow. Okay, same type deal here. This psalmist had experienced anguish. Was brought to a point of death here, and it was set free by God. And it continues where we started reading today, for you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The guy in the gospel is brought back to the land of living, right? God had delivered his soul from death. His eyes from tears, feet from stumbling. Imagine again being alone, so utterly alone, no one will associate with you. wondering why did this happen to me, and then being set free. He had a lot to give thanks for. And again, God did it, right? For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. It's not anything we do. Of course, we can reach out to God and invite him in so that he can do his work. And it's a whole lot easier to change someone who wants to change. If someone doesn't want to change, it's really tough to try to change him. But if they're open to it, if they want to change, yeah. But God can do anything, right? But it's a whole lot easier in that case, right? I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. All right, and he was. But then afterwards, there's a turning point here as well. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? What can this guy do to repay Jesus? How can he repay him? How can we repay him for what he's done for us? We can't completely repay him. But we can go out and work on his behalf, right? We can open up ourselves and share our testimony with others. How can I repay the Lord for the goodness? I'll lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Yes, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. All right? Vows are an important thing. If you took a vow of marriage or a vow of sponsorship or as a parent to raise your child in the faith, a vow is important. This is a relationship, fulfilling my vows to the Lord. You maybe broke a promise to other humans, and maybe you've broken a promise to God. But yeah, let's try to fulfill our vows to the Lord. Let us take it seriously. Alrighty? And then how God sees us, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. There's something sacred about death. We've addressed that before. It's very sacred. If you're there at the moment when someone dies, it's special. O Lord, I truly am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. So this guy's experiences freedom as well. These maybe were not literal chains. It might not have been iron bound around his wrists, but maybe spiritual chains. Either way, he realizes he has been set free, and he realizes that God is responsible. So how does he respond? I will sacrifice a thank offering to you, and you will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of all his people, for all to see. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So our response then to having been set free should be all these things, right? To thank God, to praise him, to share with others, and to fulfill our vows to him. Because we have also been set free. You may think, I've never been possessed like that. And probably you haven't, okay? Anybody here ever been chained up in a graveyard? No? Okay. All right. But we've all got our thing. We've all got something we've been set free from when we turn our lives over to God. And we heard that in Romans today as well. Alrighty. When you were slaves to sin, there you go. You were a slave to sin. There's some sin that you're probably following. That was probably controlling your life before you had that spiritual awakening, turned to Jesus and were set free, right? When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Free from the control of righteousness. Free from the control. I was a slave, but I was free? Wait a minute. Okay, now that part's a little head-scratching type thing. But when you look in the New Living Translation, this really unlocked it for me. It said, free from the obligation to do right, but a slave to sin. So yeah, you're following sin, you're a slave to that, and you're free from the obligation to do right. You didn't have to do the right things. You didn't have to follow the right rules because, you know, you're in a different lifestyle. And maybe you've never been that deep into it, and that's great too. But God set us free from something, big and little. No longer a slave to sin. No longer a slave to fear, like we sang earlier too, right? Alrighty? So now we're following the right thing. But back then, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Why would a person do these things? Well, let's just take like an addiction or something like that. All right, and it could be in many different sins here. What benefit did the person reap from it? Well, I guess they got a temporary escape from this life. Seemingly could ignore their problems and stuff, set them aside, albeit temporarily, they're still there. They've not been set free, right? But things change when you totally give your life over. All right? And it said, those things result in death. Yes, the wages of sin is death. You keep following those ways, it's going to end up in spiritual death and physical death. But now, that you have been set free from sin. Okay, here's the turning point. You turn to Jesus. Say, I no longer want to follow that way of life. I am following you. I am turning to you. Help me in these times of temptation. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Slave to God. This is not a forced slavery where you're forced into slavery. This is like a voluntary slavery. It's a total giving of yourself, similarly like slavery. We're giving control of ourselves over to Him, but it's a voluntary thing. It's not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to follow Him. We seek to follow Him. We become convinced that He's the right way, and He is the right way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Eh? Okay? This leads to holiness. You're going to be sanctified and cleaned up. He's going to take care of that for you. You're no longer going to chase those old things. And the result is eternal life. Now, people going down the other path also have eternal life, but not in a good location, all right? Eternal life with God in heaven. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, it's a gift. We can't earn it. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, and nothing can be better. Living with God, you know, we'll be His people. He'll be our God, and we'll be His people. We're going to live side by side. We're going to be worshiping Him. There's nothing better. And that's eternal. That goes on and on and on without end, which to my human mind is, the concept of eternity is admittedly sort of scary. But if it's with God, He's got this, all right? So freedom, not just political freedom. We're approaching a 4th of July where we remember that and we give thanks for that indeed. We give thanks for those that, you know, fought for our freedom and continue to do so. We remember those who do not have political freedom. In a lot of countries, there's people that, you know, are under the control of a dictator where they don't have freedom, or else over a corrupt government under which they don't have freedom. And the liberation gospel, when these people hear the gospel, they are really interested because they dream of being free. They dream of being free. We take for granted being free. Think about when's the last time I gave thanks for being free. I'm just talking political freedom here in the United States. We should be giving thanks, and we should be fighting to uphold our freedoms, not to let them be taken away little bit by little bit or big chunks, to hold up our freedoms and the freedoms of others, right? It's not about us, but the freedoms of others as well, to bring that freedom to others. And that's what this guy did. He's bringing this from the gospel, bringing this story, bringing this freedom to others, telling them about what God can do, giving thanks for His freedom, not taking it for granted. He knows the change that's happened. He knows what he used to be and what he is now. He is giving thanks to that freedom, and he is bringing it to others. And let us do the same. Amen. God, we thank you for our freedom that we take for granted so many times. Not that we just have political freedoms. We are thankful for that indeed, Lord. But the freedom, the spiritual freedom that we have in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free in ways that we maybe don't even realize. That you have been at work. It's you, what you've done. It's a gift of God that you have set us free. Help us to value that freedom and to proclaim it to others. In Jesus' name.